This is Radio 4. And now, before we spend another hilarious half hour the Berkey's way, we've just got time to play you the thing that goes... But before that, news of your listening later today here on Radio 4. Well, that was, of course, an excerpt from the thing that goes... And you can hear the whole of that in just a few minutes here on Radio 4. That's followed by me saying, this is Radio 4, which is, of course, a repeat of me saying, this is Radio 4, first broadcast on Radio 4, just before I started telling you about Radio 4 programs later today. After that, it'll be time for an announcement about the program that follows next, here on Radio 4. The first is great. This is Radio 4.
And now, it's time for the Berkey's way.
Well, that was an excerpt from Radio 4 announcer Deirdre Smoth's announcement about the Berkey's way. And you can hear the whole of that announcement right now, here on Radio 4.
This is Radio 4.
And now... The Archers. I'm very sorry. I'll read that again. And now, The Archers.
Do you have trouble reading announcements on the radio? Would you rather be doing something more interesting, like learning how to make millions, or maybe even just one or two? Well, so would I. But instead, we've got to listen to Joe Kendall, Nigel Reese, Chris Emmett, and Fred Harris in this week's course on the Berkey's Way to Dynamic Living. So stay tuned now for Lesson 10, Govern Britain, the Berkey's Way. Good evening. Or if you're listening to the lunchtime edition of this show, good evening and hard luck. Have you ever wondered what it would be like actually to govern Great Britain? Several recent prime ministers have. And yet, sweeping to power and taking over the reins of the country can be a comparatively simple process if we follow the method of our mentor and presiding genius, Professor Emil Berkey.
You may, of course, be a politician already. Or, on the other hand, you may be a conservative. Either way, you know that winning elections isn't easy. Mr. Arthur Cerebellum, I understand you have never actually become an MP in your life.
That is correct, yes. Yes.
Why is this?
I possess the intelligence of a brick. I have a IQ of minus 5.6. And I think the 10 Downing Street is a crossword puzzle clue.
I see. But why have you never become an MP?
I suffer from insomnia.
Yes, tragic. And yet, Arthur Cerebellum is just one of thousands of people. All over the country. It makes you think, doesn't it? Let's hope it has the same effect on our politicians. Well, rather than go through our course stage by stage, we're now going to devote the rest of the program to a detailed documentary about the run-up to and the winning of a general election. It will be helpful if you keep a pencil and some paper handy, just in case you want to wrap up a pencil while the broadcast's on.
Good evening. Or for lunchtime listeners, good evening, and don't let the gravy boil over. In tonight, we talk to the head of the Inland Revenue at his home in Transylvania. Ludovic Kennedy will be looking at Margaret Thatcher, and serve him right. Melvin Bragg will be meeting a man with two navels who does a rather novel impression of Jimmy Durante. And, of course, the hot news of the week, Sue Lawley's visit to the dry cleaners. But first, today's by-election. And over now for an on-the-spot report from Clifford Hushvoice.
Good evening, or remember to watch the sprouts. Welcome here to Prestwick Town Hall, where we're just now awaiting the results of this very, very crucial midterm by-election to be announced.
As returning officer for this constituency, it is my duty to declare the results of the ballot as follows. Thomas Arthur Tory...
Conservative.
15,673 votes. Norman Richard Labour...
Conservative, but is embarrassed by Margaret Thatcher.
16,934 votes. James Nigel Marxist...
Conservative, but reads books.
13 votes. Reginald Montmorency Nothing...
Liberal.
18,567,244 toads.
And they've done it. The Liberals have done it. They said all through this campaign they were going solidly for the toad vote. And could this be the start of a new revival for the party now? Back to John Sideboards in the studio.
Yes, so there we are. The Liberals have scored a convincing majority there. It looks as though they've really got the toad solidly behind them. Bob, swingometer?
Well, yes, I don't know about solidly, John. The breakdown of results just coming in does show that a significant number of bullfrogs abstained in this election. And several hundred newts were unable to find their way to the polling station. Which, of course, was the very wet day, which always leads to a deceptively high turnout by amphibious voters. So I don't think we should read too much into these results.
David Gimble hairstyle. I am sure many of us were rather surprised to learn that a toad could actually vote in an election.
Oh, yes, providing it's over 18 and not an undischarged bankrupt. And in fact, I think the Liberals do deserve a lot of credit for being the first to realize the vote-catching potential of pond life in this election.
Thank you, David. Robin.
I guess, well, to examine that question a little more closely, we have with us a typical member of the Liberal Party, Mr. Engelbert Novelty, a 35-stone dog food advertiser from the Outer Hebrides. And next to him, we have a Conservative, a member of the Labour Party, Mrs. Shirley Jenkins. Next to her, we're very pleased to have a toad. Now, before we start, Mr. Novelty, let's just have a look at part of the campaign which led up to this stunning win by your party in Prestwick today. Here's Dominic Harrod, and here's a soggy lump of blotting paper.
Prestwick Municipal Gardens. Not the first place you'd think of coming to drum up votes on the eve of a crucial by-election. And yet... that's exactly what local Liberal candidate Reg Nothing has set out to do. Because Mr. Nothing is canvassing among toads.
Good afternoon. I wonder if you could spare me a minute or two of your time. My name is Nothing, and I'm your Liberal candidate in tomorrow's by-election. Yes, I know, but you see, this stems directly from the deficiencies inherent in our Constitution. No, not at all. We should keep a much tighter rein on public spending, you see. Look, there's no need to take that attitude.
Another failure for Reg Nothing. I asked him what made him do it.
Well, and of course that particular case was purely an isolated one. The plain simple fact is that the average toad in this country is sick to the teeth with our outmoded two-party system.
And they'd all rather see a Liberal as their new MP?
Well, no, they'd rather see a toad, but a Liberal is the next best thing.
Well, Mr. Novelty, the question I must put to you is this. Who dreamed up this whole toad idea in the first place?
Well, it were our party's economics expert.
Hardo?
I said it were our party's economics expert. And what's more, it's going to get us back into government.
Back into government?
Aye.
But the question I must put to you is this.
How do you see the public reacting to your already stated pledge to bring in a new snails on wheels service and introduce free tadpole clinics on the National Health?
Well, get used to it.
I see. Well, back to John now for some more late news.
Yes, Andy, startling news just on the tape is that to cope with the Liberal threat, the Prime Minister has just announced a shock new cabinet reshuffle, replacing nearly all of the top ministers with characters from the Beano. Over now to Angela Contactlens for the details.
And the savage list of sackings by Mr. Callaghan this evening has already rocked Westminster. Out go Michael Foot and Shirley Williams, and in come Little Plum, your redskin chum, and the Bash Street Kid. At the Foreign Office, Mr. Anthony Crossland has been replaced by the Hillies and the Billies, and Lord Snooty and his pals take over from Merlin Rees as Home Secretary. Other changes. Social Services Secretary, Mr. David Ennals, makes way for General Jumbo and his private army. And Harold Lever is relieved of his post as Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster by Biffo the Bear and Buster. Dennis the Menace is Chancellor of the Exchequer, so no change there.
Well, we will be keeping you posted with all the latest news on the political front there. But right now, the story that's on everybody's lips this evening. Sue Lawley's visit today to the dry cleaners in North Acton. Sue Lawley was there.
Good evening. Or don't forget to stir the soup. Is this the dry cleaners?
Yes, madam.
I see. And are you the assistant standing behind the counter?
Yes, madam.
The plump, discreetly sunburned, dark-haired assistant.
Yes, madam.
With the small but telltale mole visible on the left arm, below your brilliant yellow short-sleeved sweater, contrasting starkly with the muted pastel shades of the advertisement-covered walls.
That's right, madam.
It's no substitute for television, is it?
No. Right, well, can I help you?
Yes, I've brought some clothes in to be dry-cleaned.
Some what, madam?
Some clothes.
Some clothes? Look, madam, this is a dry cleaner's, not a holiday camp. Don't waste my time, if you please. Good day.
I'm sorry. I understood you cleaned clothes for people.
Where did you get that idea, pal?
The sign in the window that says, we clean clothes for people.
No, no. We don't do that.
Why have you got a sign saying you do that?
It's in code.
In code.
That's right, pal.
What does it actually say, then?
Says, we clean clothes for people. It's a very simple code.
Don't give me that. Look, I want this coat clean, please.
Cleaned?
Yes. I want you to clean this coat for me.
Can't you clean it yourself?
I don't want to clean it myself. I want you to clean it.
I can't make this out. Hang on. I'll have to ring my superiors. Hello? Mr. Perskins? Got a lady down here who wants us to clean a cat for her.
Coat?
Sorry. Wants us to coat a cat for her.
Clean a coat?
What? Yeah, wants us to clean a coat for her.
Well, Waterton, I'm rather tied up with work at the moment.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you're rather tied up with work at the moment.
And I've got an important client in here with me.
Oh, I see. You've got an important client in there with you.
I think under the circumstances, you'd better go ahead and humour her.
Oh, you think that under the circumstances, I'd better go ahead and humour her, do you?
Waterton, the listeners can hear my voice at the other end of the phone, you know.
Oh, I see. The listeners can hear your voice at the other end of the phone.
Yes, so stop repeating everything.
Right, I'll stop repeating everything. Oh, right, madam. One coat cleaned, is it? All right, when did you want it by?
Well, the end of the month would be fine.
End of the month? Sure, be reasonable, pal. There is a war on, you know.
No, there isn't.
Isn't there?
No, it finished ages ago.
Oh. Les? Don't bother to rush with those ARP wardens' uniforms. Right, this coat. Did you want it retex?
What exactly is retex?
50p more.
Ah, yes. All right.
Right, goodbye.
Hang on. Don't you want my name and phone number?
Don't kid yourself, lady.
I mean for the ticket.
Oh, yeah. Just fill this in.
Right. And I might add, it's the last time I shall come here for my dry cleaning. Good day. Well, from dry cleaning, we move on to the country's economy. And we look at...
Here! Could you wash a pair of socks for me?
I beg your pardon?
Well, be fair. We're cleaning your coat. Could you wash a pair of socks for me?
Certainly not.
All right. Just put this vest in soak, then. It's not much to ask.
Get out of my way, please. I'm doing an important BBC current affairs broadcast. The economy. And reports just coming into our London studio show that it's been a very tough day for Britain on the foreign exchange, with the pound slipping 15 cents against the dollar following an adverse episode of the gambles in the Daily Express. But what can we do about this disastrous menace? Well, we can stop reading it and hand you back to the studio, because some more shock results are just coming in. John Sideboard.
Yes, thank you, Sue. And the devastating news here is that 3 minutes ago, a general election on the issue, who runs the country, the government or the unions, was called by Joe Gormley. And we just know that the election has been won by the Liberals. Yes, the water voles are asking for a recount, but I don't think there's any doubt that we've got here now our first Liberal government for 69 years. Bob McKenzie, that big thing you're swinging backwards and forwards in the corner, what does that show?
Well, basically it shows I'm as nutty as a fruitcake. But I think it's very interesting at this point to speculate what kind of measures will be introduced now by a party with absolutely no experience of government whatever.
Well, we're about to discover the answer to that any minute, because the Liberals are already rushing through their new budget. A few minutes ago, when the new Chancellor left Downing Street, he had with him his familiar, battered old bag. But, unfortunately, no punchline whatsoever. just a moment. We have now news of the Chancellor's first crisis measure coming through. Yes, I think... Yes. It's 2 inches off table legs. 2 inches off the legs of all tables, dining, kitchen, or lounge, as from July the 1st. Peter Oppenheimer, how useful is this move likely to be?
Well, table height adjustment policies tend to be pretty ineffective in reducing public spending, but on the other hand, they don't really do anything else either. In fact, they're quite useless.
A bloody waste of time?
Well, I wouldn't say that, John.
Wouldn't you?
Well, yes, I would.
I'm sorry to interrupt there. I'm sorry to interrupt, Peter, but the moves are coming thick and fast now. What's this? Yes. Yes, well, this was on the cards all along, of course. Putting on aftershave reduced to 3 smacks on each cheek.
yes, nothing surprising there. Although it is interesting to note that the rate remains the same for men and women.
Yes. Just a moment. There's something else coming in here now. What have we here? Oh, yes. Now, this is... I thought so. Crusts. Cut off all ham sandwiches. Well, for the union reaction to that, back to Robin.
And with me now, to be cruelly insulted, our top union leader, Arthur Kent and Mick McBigotry. Mr. Kent, the question I must put to you is this. How do you see this radical redevelopment of the country's economy affecting free collective wage bargaining?
Sheffield Wednesday.
No. Mr. McBigotry?
Will it be Arthur Erskine?
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer was, we have a situation at this moment in time whereby maximum maneuverability at this moment in time cannot be maintained at this moment in time. Well, back to you, John.
Well, the Chancellor, Mr. Cyril Smith, has nearly finished his budget speech now. But when he sits down, the ministers at the other end of the bench are expected to hit the roof. Yes, there they go now. So, what a controversial speech there. Yes, even more controversial, though, is expected to be the Liberals' forthcoming new piece of legislative reform, the notorious Pun Bill. Back to Angela Contact Lens.
Well, briefly, the effect of the new pun bill, if passed by Parliament, will be to outlaw the use of all play on words and prohibit the display and broadcasting of puns in any form. With me now is Rupert Smut, the editor of the top-selling daily tabloid, The Pun, which is, of course, famous for its regular page three word plays like... Couple fall out at dance. Girl says she'll wear a higher neckline next time. Man takes off in a jumbo jet. Zoo says he shouldn't have stood so close behind elephant. Honeymoon bed collapses. Husband stands up for his conjugal rights. Mr. Smut, if this new bill goes through, puns such as these will become illegal.
Yes.
Does that worry you at all?
Well, I'm one of millions who believe that puns are nothing to be ashamed of, Angela. There is nothing sinful about showing off a good, healthy pun. Was it not God who said to Moses, keep taking the tablet?
No, I don't think it was.
Well, it was something like it, anyway. Now, I don't think they dare ban puns, you know, Angela. I mean, think what would happen. ITV comedy shows would grind to a standstill. The Times would be prosecuted for obscene posters. Esther Ramson would lose the will to live. No, I can't...
Well, we've just heard that the controversial pun bill has now been passed by Parliament and is at this moment going for the Royal Seal, which will clap its flippers and balance an orb on its nose before finally becoming an illegal pun.
And already the effect of the new act has led to illicit peddling of gags and jokes in London's back streets, as our reporter has been finding out.
Well, I haven't even been drinking.
I see you're a broad-minded sort of gent, sir. Enjoy a good pun, do you, right? How about some of these, then, eh? All good quality stuff. Look at this, eh?
How do you start...
Oh, keep your voice down, the fuzz at the back.
Sorry. How do you start a teddy bear race? Ready, teddy, go. Did you hear about the two flies playing football in a saucer? They're playing in the cup next week. Why is a set of dentures like a glass of sherry? Because they're both a pair of teeth, brackets, a pair of teeth.
Pretty good stuff,
yes,
I sure.
Yes. Haven't you got anything a bit stronger?
A bit stronger, sir. Well, as a matter of fact, you're in that. Yeah, look, I've got some really hot Danish puns in. I'd get a load of this.
Matcha erta itnius, ham suet jovicora, ham I nukumit, einen kolumsiens.
No, sir, not your style, eh? Look, I'll tell you that. What a see a film show, eh? Really hardcore puns, eh? No kidding. This is one of the strongest movies you see in this country. Absolutely no gags left to the imagination. Well, there's a pun on everything, I tell you. Only £5.
Is that on the level?
No, it's in a room on the first floor.
There's your £5.
Oh, yeah, that'll be another quid for that last pun.
Okay.
Right out, come this way. Okay, here we are, sir. Figured and joined us. That film's just starting it.
Gala innuendos in association with Metro Golden Mayer present The Puns of Navarone. Captain Basher Briggs of the Royal Air Force cut a fine figure of a man, but the man wasn't very pleased. Briggs himself was built like a tank, small and square, with water pipes sticking out the side. There was only one thing he liked better than getting stuck into the jerry, fighting Germans. Every morning, Poltergeist Malone, his trusty Cockney Batman, would wake him up just before dawn.
Wake up, Captain. Wake up, Dawn.
How?
Come on, Captain, it's a cold morning lover, dark.
Very
well. Here, I think your knocker just went.
It's all right, I've got a spare on me.
Blimey, it's Skipper Winko Binky.
What else, chaps? What else? I've just been posted from Blighty.
Hang on, then. Let's help you out of the envelope.
Right, righto. No time to lose, Ben. Orders from GHQ. We're to put on these Salvation Army uniforms and take these tambourines.
You mean...
Yes, they've got a mission for us at last. Not only that, we're to fly out and bomb Navarone.
According to this map, we're 50,000 feet beneath the surface of the Earth.
Idiot, you're holding it upside down.
So I am. Hang on, I think I've spotted something below.
Tank!
It's all right, don't mention it.
Okay, platoon, this is it. Is the bomb bay officer here?
Oh, yes, please, yes, indeed, I am. Break this.
I've set all the bombs in place, Winko.
Right, old Dawn, drop them. Great, now the bombs.
Boys, stop this film. This is a police raid. We've been hearing about these licentious shows. This place is a den of iniquity and the most despicable extremes of vice. We are seizing all these puns and taking them from this pernicious earl of ill repute down to Scotland Yard.
Oh, just a minute, officer.
Yes, what is it?
This is Scotland Yard.
Well, all right, then. You mind if I watch?
Go on, then. Carry on.
Whoa! 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 Whoa!
Well, that's enough hardcore corn for one week. If you've listened carefully to today's course, you could soon be like the Liberals, sweeping the country. Right off your brooms now to the Burgess Way's Panorama Center, Soho. And by return of post, we'll rush you Joe Kendall, Michael Reese, Chris Evett, and Fred Harris under plain brown cover. Sample the sizzling pornographic material of Andrew Marshall and David Renwick, completely uncensored by producer Simon Brett of Stephanie. Well, only a bit. Join us again next week for more incredible secrets of a successful life. Till then, good night. Or don't forget to clear the table and happy dynamic living.
Funniest looking car, what do you mean? Yeah? Funniest looking car, what do you mean? Yeah?